This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The national news media have not discovered it, but the issue that is bringing out hundreds of citizens who never before attended political meetings is Common Core education standards. More precisely, it is the attempt of Barack Obama's Department of Education to force all states and schools to adopt specified national education standards for each grade level that will dictate what all kids learn and do not learn. Common Core means federal control of school curriculum. That means control by Obama administration left-wing bureaucrats. Federal control will replace all curriculum decisions made by state and local school boards, by state legislatures, by parents, and even Congress, because Obama bypassed Congress using $4 billion of stimulus money to promote Common Core. It's not only public schools that must obey the Fed's dictates. Common Core will control the curriculum of charter schools, private schools, religious schools, Catholic schools, and homeschooling. The control mechanism is the tests. Kids must pass the tests in order to get a high school diploma, admittance to college, or even a GED. If they have not studied a curriculum based on Common Core, they won't score well on the test. Common Core cannot be described as voluntary. Since Common Core is so costly to the states, it's an estimated $15 billion for retraining teachers and the purchase of computers for all kids to take the tests. Common Core is foisted on the locals by a combination of bribes, federal handouts, and as the price for getting a waiver to exempt a state from other obnoxious mandates, such as No Child Left Behind. Don't be under any illusion that Common Core will make kids smarter. The Common Core academic level is lower than what many states use right now.
Has your son or daughter expressed frustration with the liberal ideology and anti-Christian propaganda on their college campus? Encourage any students you know to join Phyllis Schlafly and other conservative leaders in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19 for the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system, an everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Friday, November 22nd, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN, whose website is republicbroadcasting.org. President John F. Kennedy was publicly and savagely executed on November 22nd, 1963, 50 years ago today. Following the highly symbolic crime, Israeli-friendly LBJ was inaugurated president. Immediately thereafter, the U.S. escalated its war in Vietnam, altered its Middle East foreign policy, which allowed the Israeli state to develop its massive and intimidating weapons program. At home, CIA asset Gloria Steinem convinced homemakers of their misery and lack of fulfillment while America's youth were mesmerized by intelligence-connected musicians in order to marginalize the legitimate anti-war movement. The CIA remained intact and enlarged its domestic operations and covert activities throughout the world. Meanwhile, organized crime trafficked drugs out of Golden Triangle onto the streets of America while the FBI looked the other way. It does not matter where the bullets came from, whether they came from the grassy knoll, the book depository, or a spaceship. Lee Harvey Oswald did not fire a single shot that day. The KGB and the anti-Castro Cubans did not assassinate JFK, and no, Jackie did not pull the trigger because of her husband's philandering. Like the five Israelis sent to document 9/11, Abraham Zapruder, whose family received $16 million for the original tape, was conveniently available, standing in just the right place to document the brutal murder of JFK. Many books have been written about this political assassination, some by academic insiders or highly paid court historians spewing the official version, others by skilled authors touted by the New York Times, and some by paid Israeli assets. All of them have the same function: to obfuscate, confuse, or complicate the details of that coup d'etat event. Only one courageous person, today's guest, has evaluated, researched, and documented that an alliance of the Israeli Mossad, the CIA, and Meyer Lansky's crime syndicate, now dubbed the Mafia, collaborated to permanently eliminate President John F. Kennedy, who sometimes previously cooperated in some advantageous ventures, but who was now a major thorn in the side of those three entities and their ultimate objectives. My guest today is Michael Collins Piper, a longtime historian and journalist, formerly associated with Willis Cardo's Liberty Lobby and The Spotlight, and now with Mr. Cardo's American Free Press and The Barnes Review. He is the author of Final Judgment, The Missing Link in the JFK Assassination Conspiracy, and numerous other books, including his most recent work, False Flags, Template for Terror. Let me read the subtitle. An analytical critique of the covert model utilized by the conspirators who orchestrated 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, the JFK assassination, Sandy Hook, and Boston. The how and why as never explained before. His websites are MikePiperReport.com, MichaelCollinsPiper.wordpress.com, and MichaelCollinsPiper.podbeam.com. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me aboard, Deanna. This has been quite an interesting week in many respects. And, you know, at first I had a whole raft of interviews lined up. Unfortunately, I missed two of them because I wasn't feeling well, and I was almost inclined to just go ahead and cancel all of them, but I wasn't going to cancel out on yours because I appreciated your offer so much to have me aboard here. You know, this JFK assassination thing has been very rewarding for me over the past 20 years. Final Judgment came out in 93, but I started writing it, researching and writing it, I think, in 1992. So it's been well over 20 years. As a consequence of Final Judgment, I've gotten to know a lot of good people here and around the world. And I just wanted to start off by mentioning that, ironically, today, one very good friend of mine and also of Pete Papaheracles of American Free Press and of Mark Glenn, who's a longtime correspondent for American Free Press, a very good friend of ours, Reg Oram, died in a tragic fire weekend before last, and he is being buried today, ironically, on November 22nd. Today is his funeral, I should say, and it was my book, Final Judgment, that first brought Reg Oram and I into contact, and oddly enough, it was the book Final Judgment that brought Mark Glenn and I into contact, and Mark has since become a good friend of Reg Oram. So I wanted to pay tribute to Reg Oram. He was very active in the nationalist movement behind the scenes over many years. A very interesting guy, and just one of the many good people I've gotten to know as a consequence of having written Final Judgment. And I just wanted to mention that.
Well, thank you so much. And, Michael, didn't you really start researching at the age of five? What was it, five or six when you wrote?
Yeah, actually, I just told somebody this story the other day, and it's absolutely true. After I had written Final Judgment, after it had been published, and I was going on 34 years old when Final Judgment was published. About a year or so after the book was published, I found a piece of paper, a piece of tablet paper that I had written. It's something I had written when I must have been like in about first grade, kindergarten or first grade. And it was at my mother's house, and it said John and Jackie and John and Nellie were riding down the street. Lee fired a gun, hit Jack, John. And then he fired another bullet and hit John. And then he fired another bullet and hit John again. And John died, or something along those lines. It was about six or seven lines long. And I didn't know then, when I must have been about 5 or 6 years old, that I would one day write a book about the Kennedy assassination that at the same time would be so assiduously ignored, even as it was being so assiduously attacked. And if there's anything I have learned as a consequence of writing Final Judgment, is that you can judge a man by his enemies. You can judge a book by its critics. And I have found that I am honored by those who are my enemies, and I am honored by those who are my critics, and I'm honored by those who have gone out of their way to ignore me because it tells me much about them and what their real motivations may be, sometimes hidden though they are.
It's kind of amazing, but all of the attention that the ADL and their cronies gave to you actually popularized your work and drew greater attention than perhaps if they had been quiet.
Yeah, they've had a real difficult time dealing with it because what happened when Final Judgment first came out, it sold very, very well. It sold like, now these numbers don't mean a lot to most people who are accustomed to hearing about quote-unquote real best-selling authors, but Final Judgment sold like about 8,000 copies within 2 weeks' time. And I'm here to tell you that would qualify it to be a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. And that's a whole, we could spend a whole hour talking about the New York Times bestseller list. The book got out there. A lot of people started reading it. People who initially doubted the thesis and said, oh, this is crazy, started reading the book and saying, hey, this is kind of interesting. Now, what's kind of funny about this is that after the book got out there, I started getting involved on JFK assassination forums on the Internet. And remember, the Internet was in its infancy.
Exactly.
And here we go to a break.
Exactly. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Michael Collins Piper. He is the author of this fabulous, fabulous book. Well, many, many fabulous books. Final Judgment, The Missing Link in the JFK Assassination conspiracy. The website is MikePiperReport.com. Okay, please continue.
Yeah, well, Deanna, first of all, I want to mention one very bright point about this discussion here today. Final Judgment is out of print. So yes. As I always tell people, I can't be accused of hawking a book. In fact, the book, if people do hard enough a check on the Internet, I'm pretty sure that a previous version of the book is available for absolutely free for download on the Internet. It's not the most up-to-date edition of the book, but it is out there. And I would encourage people to find it and read it and distribute it, because I think it has a message that more people need to hear.
Oh, but absolutely.
Anyway, as I was saying, you know, the book came out and I started getting on these Internet forums, and it was kind of interesting because there were all these people on these Internet forums who were saying, oh, the only people that believe Mike Piper's nonsense are a bunch of right-wing fascists and racists. But you know, the fact is, Deanna, that in the entire history of Final Judgment, which is 20 years now, not one single prominent American right-wing racist or anti-Semite or fascist or skinhead or neo-Nazi has ever published a favorable review or, to the best of my knowledge, made a favorable public comment about Final Judgment. And so on the one hand, you had people on the quote-unquote left saying that the only audience that took me seriously was all this quote-unquote right-wing, racist, anti-Semitic, neo-Nazi audience. The fact is that none of the people that the left wing were saying were promoting the book were promoting the book at all. Final Judgment has only ever been sold by the Spotlight newspaper and then by American Free Press. One small newspaper ran a very small review of the book about 10 years ago without alluding to even the real focus of the book, and said that Piper has a book on the Kennedy assassination that talks about the Meyer Lansky crime syndicate. And another group had a brief reference, one little postage-sized stamp advertisement for the book, just saying Final Judgment, Michael Collins Piper's book on the JFK assassination. So basically, with the exception of foreign distributors of the book, there has been very little, if anything, said about Final Judgment in the organized right wing in America, which has always struck me as kind of peculiar. I know part of the reason for it, and some of the people who have been major players behind the scenes. Frankly, I could write an entire book about Final Judgment and my experiences, which have been sometimes bizarre, sometimes most difficult. I have been heavily targeted for having written the book and have been subjected to an array of, let's just say most of the listeners to this audience, if they had had to go through what I have gone, both publicly and privately as a consequence of this book, they'd have hung themselves a long, long time ago, or put their heads in the oven, or chosen their favorite method of self-elimination, because I have no doubt about it now, looking at it in retrospect, that has been one of the consequences of writing the book. On the other hand, the positive side is that I have had the opportunity to travel all over the world. I've been to Russia. I've been to Iran. I've been to Malaysia twice. I've been to Japan. I've been invited all across Canada by Paul Fromm of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. I've gotten to know some very, very well-known and very, very influential people abroad. And that's what's interesting. Final Judgment has gotten a better reception abroad than it has here in the United States. There have only been a handful of people, such as yourself, I might include in that list, Deanna, who have actually dared to talk about Final Judgment and present its thesis correctly and in a rational form. It's been very, very interesting to watch how the book and its thesis have been treated. And what's interesting, Deanna, what's really interesting about Final Judgment, and this is where I can step aside from the whole thesis, or from the book, I should say, and be completely objective, that while on the one hand I understand why certain people would not want to promote the book itself, because in effect that would be promoting me, and various people have various reasons not to like me. Number one, because of my association with Willis Cardo, and Willis and I have been upfront in daring to pinpoint some strange activities in the right wing and in the revisionist movement by some sordid sources who would rather not have their backgrounds and intrigues revealed. So consequently, there are those people who don't want to mention the book because they would have to mention me, and I understand that. But what I'm more disturbed about from the bigger standpoint, from the standpoint of the survival of the United States and from the standpoint of the survival of not just Western civilization itself, there have been far too many people who could have at least talked about the thesis of my book and used the material in the book to promote the thesis. And that's where there's a very real problem, because let's face it, we are where we are today in the world because of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy was, I firmly believe now, more so than ever, and there was never any time when I was writing the book that I didn't believe my thesis. There's never been any time since the book has been published that I've doubted. I'm absolutely convinced, I'm absolutely certain that I was right, that Israel did play a frontline role, if not the pivotal role, if not the primary role, in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, that it did so precisely because JFK was standing in the way of the very framework of Israel's geopolitical national security foundation, that is, the acquisition of nuclear weapons. Now, as a consequence of Israel's acquisition of nuclear weapons, we did get an arms race in the Middle East, to the extent that if you consider the fact that Israel was running, everybody else was crawling. And what happened in the years that have followed that, which happened as a direct consequence of JFK's assassination, is that now the United States has gotten engaged in at least one war in the Middle East, supposedly to stop Saddam Hussein from building nuclear weapons, and now we are poised to get involved, perhaps, in another war in the Middle East, again, over the issue of nuclear weapons in a country, in this case Iran, that happens to be considered an enemy of Israel. But let's be honest about it. Israel looks at every country as an enemy or as a potential enemy. So this is where we are today, and I do stand here publicly and vehemently to denounce the people who have been afraid of talking about the thesis of my book, and that includes a lot of people who are not part of the quote-unquote organized left, organized right wing, but people quote-unquote on the left, people in the so-called progressive movement, people who are critics of Israel. They're afraid of the thesis.
Exactly. We are going to a break, and I would say that probably if people had looked at your book, taken it seriously, 9/11 would never have happened. All righty, we will be back in 3 minutes.
The AK-47 is known for being tough and battle-ready. Now you can be battle-ready with tough tactical gear from StrikeHardGear.com. Made in the USA, StrikeHardGear.com specializes in mil-spec quality tactical gear for your AK-47, SKS Mosin Nagant, and other Russian-style weapons. Visit StrikeHardGear.com to find chest rigs, buttstock pouches, bandoliers, shoulder bags, and other one-of-a-kind pieces of specialty gear you won't find anywhere else. Tough as nails and affordable. Buy with confidence from StrikeHardGear.com with our no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. After that, run it hard because you're backed by a lifetime replacement warranty. Use the discount code RBN and get 5% off your order. Pull the trigger on StrikeHardGear.com today. Strike Hard Gear.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site again is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, veteran-owned and operated.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Michael Collins Piper. He is the author of Final Judgment, The Missing Link in the JFK Assassination Conspiracy, and numerous other books, all of which I happily, very happily own. The website is MikePiperReport.com. And I mentioned just before the break that 9/11 would not have occurred had people read and studied and believed what you reported in Final Judgment. And there were many people, including Irving Davidson, who is heavily connected to many influential people, who privately told you that, yep, that's about what happened after he read the book.
Yeah, that endorsement from Irv Davidson, very private endorsement. Irv is still alive. He's very, very old. And that, no offense to people out there who are 93, but Irv was born in 1920, so I guess what's that make him, 93, 94 years old. Irv was a very interesting character. Quite a notorious figure in many respects. Very influential lobbyist and behind-the-scenes figure here in Washington. He knew everybody. He's one of these people, I think they once described him as a man who knew all the secrets but never told them. Things like that. He was a lobbyist here in Washington for the powerful Murchison family of Dallas. He was a friend and lobbyist for Carlos Marcello, the mafia boss of New Orleans. Very close friend of Jimmy Hoffa. He was a Washington representative of the following Latin dictators, Central American dictators, Somoza of Nicaragua, Papadakis Duvalier of Haiti, Trujillo of the Dominican Republic. I mean, he knew everybody. He had associations with the CIA. He was a registered lobbyist for the State of Israel. In fact, he was the first person to import Uzis into the United States. He took one time over lunch, told me the story about the first time he ever showed any Uzis to anybody here when he was promoting them on behalf of the Israeli manufacturers. He was a reader of the Spotlight. That's how I got to know him. He read the Spotlight because he knew the Spotlight had a lot of good inside information about a lot of things. And he used to stop by to buy books, and that's how I got acquainted with him. And over a period of about 10 years, we had lunch together on a fairly regular basis. Maybe once or twice a year. Got to know each other, chatted on the phone. And he read Final Judgment. And, of course, when I was writing Final Judgment, I knew that he was connected to all of these people. And, in fact, Peter Dale Scott, who is a very well-known JFK assassination researcher, who I got different reports that Peter Dale Scott was constantly attacking me and saying, oh, don't read Michael Collins Piper's book. It's Nazi propaganda. It's anti-Semitic.
If all else fails, just blame the Nazis, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. That's right. I mean, I was even criticized by people for not writing about the Holocaust in my book. They thought that I should have opened the book up with a discussion of the Holocaust and show that it didn't happen so that that would make people more less sensitive to my criticisms of Israel. So I'm damned if I do and damamed if I don't. But Irv Davidson, obviously, who was connected to all these people and who, incidentally, is Jewish, Irv and I were going out to lunch one day, and I was down at his office at the Commerce Building in Washington. And I was standing there. In fact, I remember we were standing there in the office, and he says to me, he talked like this. He says, your book, Final Judgment. He said, I've read it. Yeah, and I knew that I had sent it to him, and I nodded my head, and he said, I think that's pretty much what happened. And I got a chill down my spine, because as I say, Peter Dale Scott for years had been saying that Irv Davidson was central to understanding the JFK assassination conspiracy. You can read what Peter Dale Scott has written about it in various of his books. And here is the guy who Peter Dale Scott says was central to understanding the coalitions against the Kennedys. Here he is telling me that he says that he thinks that my book is, quote-unquote, pretty much what happened. And as I told people at the time, and as I've said since then, I remember that old saying, ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. So I didn't ask him any questions, and I didn't ask him then to tell me any lies. He told me what he thought, and As I've said repeatedly about this, when I look at all the people who have attacked me, all the people who have criticized me, all the people who have ignored me, and not just me personally in the book, but the thesis, and then I remember the words of Irv Davidson, I pretty much feel like I hit the nail on the head, that I pinned the tail on the donkey. So
exactly.
Yeah.
His one statement vindicated everything that you put in the book, and it also, given what Peter Dale Scott said about Irv Davidson, well, that pretty well.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. One time, people who used to listen to my program here in RBN have heard me tell this story, but one time Peter Dale Scott was on Kevin Barrett's program, and Kevin used to be here in RBN. And incidentally, Kevin Barrett has written favorably about Final Judgment, and I have to thank Kevin, Dr. Barrett, for doing that. But one time Peter Dale Scott was on Kevin Barrett's program, and I called in, and I just said it was Mike from Washington. I didn't identify myself. I don't even think Kevin knew my voice. And I said to Dr. Scott, Peter Dale Scott, I said, well, you know, I really, really have enjoyed your books. I've read all your books. And at that point, I think I had, in fact, read all of his books. And I said to Dr. Scott, I said, well, you've written extensively about Irv Davidson. And he said, oh, yes, very interesting character. And then he proceeded to outline some of the things about Irv Davidson that I just mentioned. And then I said, well, I said, you know, I want to tell you something. I said, I know Irv Davidson. And he said, oh, my Lord, or something like that. And I said, oh, yes, I've had lunch with him many times over the years, know him fairly well. And I said, I must tell you, Dr. Scott, that he told me that he had read Michael Collins Piper's final book, Final Judgment, and that he, Irv Davidson, felt that that was pretty much what happened. And there was this audible gasp coming from Peter Dale Scott. And again, he said something like, oh, my God, you know, oh, my word, you know. Because again, as I said, Peter Dale Scott had been attacking me privately to people in various venues. And, you know, I said, you know, in all fairness, though, Dr. Scott, I do have to tell you that I'm Michael Collins Piper. And he was quite nice, naturally. I'm not surprised that he was. You know, the devil himself had materialized right there on the air, mentioning no less that the devil himself knew the chief devil, Irv Davidson, I guess. So as I say, I've taken a lot of satisfaction in that. I expect there will be people who will say that I'm lying about that, but I have a whole file of personal letters to me from Irv Davidson, handwritten on his stationery. I have a card from Irv Davidson, a very funny card that he sent to me, featuring a caricature of him as a leprechaun. One of his friends had drawn, saying, "Dear Mike, thanks very much for your final judgment of me and others." Signed 007 and a half. That's what he used to sign his cards. So like I say, his endorsement, which is effectively what it is, proves nothing. But this is somebody who understood what the real politics of the time were all about. Sure. Irv Davidson was one of the middlemen involved behind the scenes when JFK selected LBJ as his running mate at the 1960 Democratic Convention. I mean, he was. Look him up on the internet, folks. I, Irving Davidson. And you'll find out a lot of very interesting things about him. But you know, Deanna, the thing about it is, even if I had never met Irv Davidson and had the satisfaction of hearing him say that, I know, I also have the satisfaction of knowing that no one has ever refuted my thesis. People have found errors in the book. In fact, in Final Judgment, I know you have certainly have a copy of one of the previous editions. I had a whole section entitled "Show Me Where I'm Wrong," and I listed all the errors that had been brought to my attention in previous editions of the book, and I laid out precisely what my sources were for those errors. Some of them were just errors like, I can't remember exactly the years, but I think I said John Connally, the governor of Texas, died in 1993 when he died in 1994.
But those were inconsequential
errors that had nothing to do with the thesis.
Exactly. Alrighty, we are going to a break. We'll be right back in just a moment.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendovite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendovite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendivite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Michael Collins Piper. He is the author of False Flags, Template for Terror, a fabulous new book. And, of course, his wonderful, wonderful Final Judgment, The Missing Link in the JFK Assassination Conspiracy. Now, you talk a lot about the conspiracy in False Flags. You also recently wrote an article called The Rothschild Link to JFK. And the listeners would really like to hear about the tie, the connection between Tibor Rosenbaum, the arms dealer Perman Dex, the money laundering Clay Shaw, David Ferry, Guy Bannister, Oliver Stone, Arnon Milchan, all that stuff. Mike, are you there?
Yes, hi, Deanna. Yeah, I'm sorry. I had mute on there for a moment. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
What you have just described is not as complicated as it sounds. And I guess the starting point for the whole thing is the Clay Shaw trial in New Orleans. Now, most people are familiar with the bare bones of that, or certainly people who are familiar with the Oliver Stone's film JFK. They know of the story of Jim Garrison, the very swashbuckling, very brave, no-holds-barred district attorney of New Orleans who prosecuted Clay Shaw, a New Orleans businessman, for involvement in JFK assassination conspiracy. Now Clay Shaw was indeed a CIA asset. He had a long history going back with the CIA, behind the scenes work for the CIA, through his role as an international trade executive. But there were certain aspects of Clay Shaw's background that Oliver Stone did not mention, or mentioned only in passing. And that is Clay Shaw's membership of the board of directors of a company. There were two companies. One was a subsidiary of another. But basically, there was this company called Permandex. Now, it's been mentioned in a lot of literature about the JFK assassination over the years. But it's been painted as a Nazi front. It's been painted as a CIA front. But if you look at Permandex in its reality, if you look at the facts, you see that it's anything but a CIA front or a Nazi front. The chairman of the board of Permandex, that is, he sat on the same board as Clay Shaw, the chairman of the board and the chief stockholder in Permandex, was this guy named Louis Bloomfield of Montreal. Louis Bloomfield was Jewish. That doesn't prove that the Jews killed Kennedy. That doesn't prove that the Israelis killed Kennedy. I'm just pointing out that he did happen to be Jewish. And incidentally, Clay Shaw was not. And Louis Bloomfield was a longtime high-level figure in the international Zionist movement. Louis Bloomfield was closely associated with the Bronfman family of Canada, headed by Sam Bronfman, who was the head of the World Jewish Congress. The Bronfman family, in turn, were, of course, closely tied to Meyer Lansky, the head of the International Crime Syndicate, and, of course, some of these popular mafia figures that are linked to the JFK assassination were really, really people who answered to Meyer Lansky. Again, books have been written about that. But in any case, we have Clay Shaw right there on the board of directors with Louis Bloomfield of Montreal. Now, it gets even deeper and more interesting. This guy, Louis Bloomfield, was an attorney for and business partner of Baron Edmund de Rothschild going back to the 1940s. Back to the time when the Nazis were confiscating Rothschild family assets throughout Europe. There's a popular myth in the Patriot movement that the Nazis never touched the Rothschilds. That's a myth. No, in fact, the Nazis confiscated Rothschild property throughout Europe. And this character, Louis Bloomfield, was working with the Rothschilds to disentangle a lot of their corporate interests. Well, Bloomfield was also directly associated with the Bronfmans, or with the Bronfmans and the Rothschilds in business interests in Israel. And in fact, this Mr. Bloomfield and his brother Bernard Bloomfield were among an elite group of Canadian and American Jewish millionaires and billionaires who helped finance Israel's nuclear weapons program in the 1950s. I might add Israel's secret nuclear weapons program. Now, and of course, it's also important to point out in the context here that David Ben-Gurion, the founder of Israel, considered Israel's nuclear weapons program to be sacred, literally sacred, to be the cornerstone of Israel's national defense policy. All of his future planning for the state of Israel's survival was framed around the acquisition of nuclear weapons. So here you have Louis Bloomfield and, of course, the Rothschild family, and there's Clay Shaw on the board of directors of this company called Permandex that is associated with the Bloomfield-Bronfman connection going all the way over to Israel and Israel's nuclear weapons program. But it gets even deeper. Now, people could, over the years, JFK assassination researchers always said, oh, isn't it interesting that this CIA asset was on the board of this Permandex? Well, I can tell you why he was on the board of Permandex. It's so obvious that it just screams out. Whenever Jim Garrison was prosecuted, or I'm sorry, when Clay Shaw was prosecuted by Jim Garrison in New Orleans, the people who bankrolled Clay Shaw's defense were the Stern family of New Orleans, a very powerful and prominent Jewish family who were the owners of WDSU television and radio in New Orleans. They were heirs to the Sears Roebuck fortune, and they were also key shareholders in the NUMEC nuclear plant in Apollo, Pennsylvania, which was run by Dr. Zalman Shapiro, and it was from this NUMEC nuclear plant that James Angleton, the Mossad loyalist at the Mossad desk at the CIA in Washington, Angleton was the number three man in the CIA, he and Dr. Shapiro and others illicitly channeled American nuclear materiel to Israel's nuclear weapons program. So the Stern family were that closely tied into Israel's nuclear weapons program, along with Mr. Bloomfield of Montreal, and certainly with the Bronfman, or certainly with the Bronfman family, and also the Rothschild family, who were among the primary patrons of Israel. So all these people, all these years, have been telling you Clay Shaw was a CIA man. No, he was basically a Gentile front man involved in this operation Permandex, which I have come to conclude, and I think there's enough evidence to indicate this, coming from a wide variety of sources, Permandex was very much an Israeli arms and weapons money laundering operation. It was involved in real estate ventures and so forth, but essentially what it was an Israeli operation. And it's no coincidence that the Permandex accounts, and also one of the chief shareholders of Permandex, the Permandex accounts were at the Banque de Crédit International of Switzerland, and which was also a primary shareholder in Permandex.
Wow.
Banque de Crédit International was run by Rabbi Tibor Rosenbaum, a Jewish hero of World War II who had risen to become one of the Mossad's top arms procurement specialist. Some people over the years said he was, there were various descriptions of him coming from Jewish sources saying that he was one of Israel's founding fathers, one of its great national heroes, that he was a hero of the Holocaust, hero of World War II, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Clay Shaw was deeply enmeshed in this group of people. And of course, Clay Shaw was one of the people who at one point during the conspiracy was involved directly with Lee Harvey Oswald and the activities of Lee Harvey Oswald in New Orleans.
Exactly. He was the only person that was ever prosecuted, right?
Absolutely.
All righty. We are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour.